but to thank the wonderful individuals who are putting together this beautiful program. I certainly regret, for those who have been here over the past few years, I regret that I can't be here every week, but I'm thrilled that there's a complete learning program. A learning program, especially Shlomo Zakatinsky and all the work that she put in, and others, to see to it that the learning would continue on a regular basis, and to take advantage of the very chashuva people that are coming here. I am looking at the list. I wish I could come to here. So since I can only be here once in a while, I have to try to tell you to discuss the things that are accumulating over a long time. I mean, there's an old song that was one of those monotonous things growing up, but it stays in your head. I'm not going to sing it, and I'm not going to go over the whole thing, but there was just that one sentence that life is but a dream. I'm sure you remember that. Life is but a dream. And it's true. It's true. But the real question is, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight, since we're entering into the parashiyas of dreams. The dream of Yaakov Avinu, and the Nehla tells us Yaakov Yosef, and Yosef HaTzadik, the Baal HaChalom, is the master of dreams. We're going to talk about dreams, not about anything esoteric. It's true that life is a dream, but the real question for a Jew is, how do you interpret this dream of life? How do you interpret the dream? And what I mean is, just to begin, there's a Torah from Yishbitz in the Mashiach and Parshas Miketz. But a few years ago I mentioned Derech Agav. The Mashiach on the Pasuk of Tishma Chalayim Lifter Iso. So you know that Yosef HaTzadik was able to interpret a dream. And Paro was very impressed that he heard that Yosef HaTzadik has the ability to be Paisa Chalayimus, to interpret dreams. So the Mashiach writes the following. What does it mean to interpret a dream? Because each and every one of us has to do that. Because every single word of the Torah is telling us something about ourselves. So what does it mean? Tishma chalom lifter, I say. Hainu. Dnei Shiloh writes in Miketz. Hainu ki kol in yonei oylem hazehem ki chalom hatzarech pisra. The Isbitzer says that everything of this world is like a dream that is in need, that is waiting for an interpretation. And the way that the person interprets life, interprets the dream. So the Isbitzer says, Kein Yokim Etzlo. You know that Chalaimus Chazal say, Arhochen Achar HaPeh. It's very important to give a good interpretation of a dream. To say that it's a good cholam, it's a cholam toiv, chalma tova chazas. It's a good dream. So the tzaddik says, the Meshilayach says, kolin yoni oylem hazehim ki cholam atzorach pisroin. Everything in this world is like a dream that is waiting, that needs to be interpreted. In the way that you interpret the dream, that's what's going to happen in your life. The Yishbitzer says here an astounding thing, which we're not going to really go into at length. The Yishbitzer says that all the things of this world can be summed up in one word, which is lechem. In Tanakh, lechem is the code word, is the term that indicates all of the things, all of the circumstances and conditions of one's physical life. It's called lechem. When the Torah says Kilo Alechem Levada Yichya Ha'adam Kel Kol Ma'itzei Pi Hashem Yichya Ha'adam, means that man's responsibility is to be able to look at this world and all of the circumstances and conditions that he has that surround him in this physical world that's called Lechem, and to be able to understand, to believe, to interpret that reality as Ma'itzei Pi Hashem, to be able to try to understand what is Hashem telling me in my life. What is Hashem trying to tell me? What is Hashem instructing me? Therefore, the Yishbitzer says that the word lechem is the same oisis as the word chalom. how you interpret reality, which is called Lechem, is how the chalom, is how the dream will turn out. Because life is but a dream. Now, in order to understand this, for people like ourselves, we have to go back to the beginning of time. We have to go back to the beginning. And I want to talk about something in a very simple way, and something that we can work on, that we must work on. And all of this is a hachana for Chanukah. I don't know if I'm going to have time to get to Chanukah at the end, but you'll understand that it's all about Chanukah. At the beginning of creation, the beginning of time, the parasha of the marble of the flood is introduced into reality with the words Vani Hinani Mevias Amab. The Rabbi Shalom says that I am bringing the marble, I am bringing the flood. Rashi says, why does it say Vani Hinani Mevi, like the Rabbi Shalom is saying Hinani Mukhnam Zuman, Hinani Mevi, behold, I am bringing the marble. It's not just Hinani Mevias Amab. So Rashi says, "Hinni mochem ahaskim ma'isim shezezuni v'amru lefanai kvar ma'enes kisis karena." Rashi says that the Rebbeinu Shalom is saying, "Hinni maybe samabel." It means that at the beginning of time, at the very beginning before man was created, you know that there were malachim, there were angels. If you could please turn off all the cell phones, I'd appreciate it. That there were angels, there were malachim, who said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ma'enes, the pasuk in Tehillim, Ma'enes kisis kirenu v'nodem kiyifkidenu. What's the point in creating human beings? Human beings are shakranim, they're liars. Human beings are going to rebel against you. So the malachim strongly recommended, they strongly advised the Rebbeinu Shel not to create man. And what happened? So you know, so while the Malachim were discussing this issue, so Nasa Adam, the Rebbeinu Shalom slipped away on the side and created man. Nasa Adam, Chazal says, I already made him, it's too late. So now, Hinani Mevi Samabul, so Rashi says, Hinani Mucha, the Rebbeinu Shalom says, I'm now prepared, I admit, and I'm asking with those who were recommending that I not create man, and who said to me, Ma'enish kisis karena, what is man that you should even remember him? Why should you even create such a being called man? So now Hashem Baruch says, Taka, good point. And Hini mevias amabul, now I'm bringing a flood. The Pella in this is so obvious. Without going into the whole inyan of Hashem knowing and man's choice, which is not kedai to discuss, and the Rambam told us it's not kedai to think about. The Pella, of course, is that Hashem is Magid Mireishis Achris. That Hashem is Baruch, of course, knows beginnings, he knows ends. If there was a chisaron in the Briya, if there was something in man that was missing, and the Baruch Shalom created the human being in such a way, he created the world in such a way that the chisaron is nepegam, Hashem wanted such a world. And Hashem, of course, understood what the Malachim were talking about at the beginning. So what does it mean that now Hashem says, Now I'm asking. Now I agree to this chisaron in man, to this imperfect and self-destructive being that's called man. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is masking with the Malachim. Not only that, after the Malbim, La'acha HaMaisa, so then it says, V'yar Hashem Yisreach Yinichoyach V'yem Hashem Alibay Le'yosif L'kalal Oides Ha'adama. So now Noach, of course, brings a carbon, and Hashem, Kevyochol, smells the fragrance of the offering. And then Hashem says, I'm not going to curse the world again. Why? Ki Yetzer Lev Ha'adam Ramanurav. So Hashem's Malamed Tzchus on human beings. And the Baruch Shalom says, look, what do you want from them? A human being has the Yetzer Hara. So this is a fine limud zchus to try to explain that the reason that man sins is because he's born, he's created with certain weaknesses. that play themselves out in his life, and he struggles with these weaknesses. So Hashem Yisbarach says, therefore, I'm not going to do this again. I'm not going to curse the world. There's not going to be any more floods. So the question, of course, is that before the flood, the Baruch Shem could have also been Malam Eschus, right? It would have been a nice thing to do before the flood. Now that there's been this total devastation and the whole world's been destroyed, now the Baruch Shem says, it's Rachmanis on them. So to be Malamed Schus, to find this Schus, in other words, to find an opening to say, Ki Yetzalev Ha'adam Ra'alam Nurov, a human being is misled by his Yetzahara. It seems that it would have been very helpful to have been Malamed Schus before the Mabel, before the flood. And certainly before the flood, it was Goli V'yadu, it was known to Hashem, that this being, this human being, was deficient, was missing things, and that he has the Yetzirah. So how come Hashem's knowledge that man has this Yetzirah didn't suffice to prevent the flood to begin with? As if it's a limit schos, then let it prevent the flood. You understand? It's a kasha. And then there's this amazing person, Noach. Noach is Tzaddik. The name Noach, the Torah tells us, the Torah itself tells us, that the name Noach was given because in the future, this one will bring us rest or relief from our work and the toil of our hands. The name Noach means menuche, it means naiche, like it says in the Zohar Kodesh, naiche la'ila, naiche l'sata. It means the one who will bring peace, menuche, will bring nechama. Menuche, nechama, Noach, it's all the same thing. Rashi says, Naichel el yoinim, shebetchilo, yimakatrigim, b'chol yoim, v'amru, what's the menuche? What does it mean the Baruch Shalom says, all right, this one's going to bring me peace? What's the Baruch Shalom having a problem that he needs to have menuche? What's the menuche that Hashem is looking for? So Rashi HaKadosh says, and it's from the Chazal, it's from the Zohar Kodesh, Rashi explains that the menuche is from the angels who have a taina that mankind does not deserve to exist. Now that there's a person called Noach, Zayin Achameinu. Oh, this person Noach, I'm going to be able to take out this card in the future, meaning what? After the Mabul. But the Mabul, after the Mabul, there is this one human being for whose sake it's kedai to have a world. And therefore, this is going to be the Nechama, this is going to bring Menucha, the Baruch Shalom says, that I'm not going to have to be hacked anymore by what? By the tightness of those angels who are saying that there shouldn't be a human being, there shouldn't be a world. This is what Chazal says, Rashi brings down, the cave in Shavahu, Nochu Mikitrugam. When Noach comes into the world, once there's a Noach, then the Makatragim, these angels who are complaining about the same Malachim will say to Hashem, we told you so. These same Malachim now, Noach, Rashi says, Nochu Mikitrugam, still. Now they've stopped Kibyochel torturing Hashem with their tainas. So the whole thing's a pella. Hashem agrees first. Hashem agrees with the kitrig. He says to the malachim, you know, you guys attack it right. And Hashem's baruch brings a mabul, and then there's a Noach, and Noach brings menuche to the menuche takash baruch from the makatrigim. And now all the kitrugim, all the tainas against creation stop. But Noach wasn't enough to prevent the destructions. The same kasha. So now let's talk dvarim pshutim ma'ayv. And every one of us has to try to think and to understand each one in his or her own life. And I have to really be makaser because there's a lot to talk about. There is such a thing. There's such a thing where you have wonderful, wonderful parents. Good parents. Loving parents. Who are mois and nefesh day and night. For the children. Let's talk about one child. Let's talk about Reuven. No, he's like the mois and nefesh for Reuven, day and night. In Gashmius, physically, what would Reuven's mother do for Reuven and the father and the schlepping and the staying up nights and the taking care of, and just for the mother to have and to raise. And in Ruchnius, as the child, as Ruvain is growing up, the amount of koiches they pour into the child that he should be, that he should be a good boy, that he should be an erlecha, that he should be somebody that wants to keep Torah mitzvahs, and all the maidanis, and all the kriyashmas, and all the negovases, and all the discussions, and so on. And one of the most terrible tragedies is that despite the goodness of these parents, and despite all the mysterious nefesh and love and attention that they pour into Ruvain, Ruvain is turning into a person who's, God forbid, Nazis Panam, who's arrogant. He believes that he knows 100% what's right for him from the time that he's perhaps even a little boy, like the Pizesna talks about in the introduction to Chevesa Talmidim, what's been going on in modern times with the children. So Ruvain believes that he knows more about Chinuch than his parents, knows more about Chinuch than his Rebbe. And more than that, to Ruvain it seems that every single thing that his parents do has the one objective, which is to torture him, to make him miserable, to make him unhappy. And all he sees, and all the taivas that they do for him, whether on the simplest level in Gashmias, the mother's insistence upon wearing this and trying to eat that and to take care of yourself in this way. The only reason that the mother's doing any of that, which it could be sometimes is a little bit mugzam, as they say, a little bit exaggerated, but it's completely miahava. The mother is one shtick ahava. And all Ruvain can see with all the taivas is just Yisurim. He has tainus, mole tainus, and he talks to his friends, and he's filled with bitterness. And then the father comes with fear and trepidation. The father is prepared to give up a huge percentage of all that he earns to try to send Ruvain to the best yeshiva that he could find. The best yeshiva. And the father spoke to 1,000 people, and he called up, and he looked into it, and he made sure that it's not going to be the yeshiva that he went to. And he does all that he could do to try to find the best place in the world for Ruvain, a place where he'll be nurtured and they'll take care of him and he'll learn well, and to buy him a whole new wardrobe. That was the only good thing about going to school, was there was a lot of fun, right? Going before to get all the stuff, you know, the pencil case and the lunchbox. So the best stuff, only the best stuff for Ruvain. And despite all of this, not only does this not awaken within Ruvain a feeling of ahava, a feeling of love in return, but adarabba, the way Ruvain thinks is the following. They think, meaning his parents, that I don't understand what they're really trying to do to me. All of this buttering up and all this stuff, you know, a new wardrobe and a new lunchbox and all these, you know, and all these conversations about how I'm going to love it, it's going to be great, it's wonderful. I know that there's only one objective that they have, and that is to continue this conspiracy of destroying my life. And that's all that they want to do. And all of the hatovas, all of the tovas that they're doing, are to do what? Are only for the simple purpose of satisfying themselves, that they should look this way, they should look that way, that they should be able to say that their son goes to yeshiva, v'chule, v'chule. But none of it is for me. None of it is for me. And then it gets worse. Of course, I'm painting a very black picture. And then it gets worse. So since, to begin with, this child feels that there's a tremendous conflict, a clash between his interests and his parents' interests. So whatever they want is not what he wants. So invariably what happens is that he comes to ask his father for outrageous things. He wants outrageous things. Could be some form of entertainment. He wants to go someplace. You know, he's 15 years old, he wants to go on a skiing trip to Denver somewhere, or Aspen, wherever they go. He wants to go someplace. I know nowadays it sounds funny for me to say that's outrageous. because they probably have, like, you know, tat tours to, you know, skiing trips or whatever they do nowadays. But, you know, he comes with these expectations, these demands, and of course, he always comes armed with Moshe Yankel, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisrael, Zvulun, and everybody's going. And I'm the only one that got stuck with these parents. I got stuck with these old-fashioned fuddy-duddies that are determined to squash any fun that I might have, any simcha that I could have. Every other kid in the school, every other kid in the neighborhood has parents who love them and who they can love and who give in and who want them to enjoy. And I'm the only one whose parents say that I can't go. And Reuven's father says, look, I love you, and it's because I love you, I can't allow you to go on such a trip, or I can't allow you to have this thing that you want, because I don't believe that it's really good for you, and I believe that what you're asking for is something which, God forbid, could hurt you, could cause you problems. And that's true, but in Reuven's eyes, this is just another effort, another attempt on the part of the father to deny him whatever simcha is possible in this world. And it's not because the father or mother love him. That's just a line. You're just giving me a line. And I heard this line a million times. I know, you love me so much, that's why I'm not going with my friends, right? Because you love me so much. That's a line. You know, you're giving me the business. And these are all, the fact that you say that you love me, that's why I'm not going, these are all nice words, but these are meaningless words. The emes is, b'sinas Hashem esanu, it's because you can't stand. You can't stand me, you hate me, and you don't want me to have a good time. And as time goes on, every single thing that the parents want or don't want Reuven to do creates for him more and more yisurim. And as the years go by, They drift further and further apart from each other, until, God forbid, it can cause a churban of the entire house. It could destroy these parents. It could destroy the child. And all of it began with Reuven's unfavorable interpretation of the dream of his life. That's how it all happened. That's where it began. Parents make mistakes. And obviously, the ideal picture that I painted of these parents, none of us are able to live up to that ideal. However, there's certainly a very, very big difference between who these parents are, which are probably very, very loving, very wonderful, good people who sometimes make mistakes, and the villains that Reuven thinks that they are. There's a very, very big difference. That's Aleph. Now, Beis. In the very same house, there's another child. There's Shimon. In the same house, there's a boy by the name of Shimon, who has pretty much, again, even though parents are never exactly the same with every child, even though we all claim that we are, but in the same house, there's a child, Shimon, and Shimon was raised in the same way, and was pretty much given the same things, and was sent to the same yeshiva, with the same considerations, the same serious nefesh, the same love, except Shimon comes to a different conclusion. Shimon makes the following cheshbon. I look at these people, and I see before me a man and a woman who don't take anything for themselves. The kimat don't have anything for themselves. I see a man and a woman who, since the time that I'm able to know what's going on in my life, everything that they do comes out of concern for me. For me, for my siblings. I see hearts that are overflowing with ahava for me. I see the amount of money that they're prepared to spend for me to go to the best yeshiva, and to try to have a nice summer, to go to a camp and so on, and to have nice clothing. And hakol, every single thing is b'shvili nivah olam, I see that they do for me. And Shimon, who's in the same house with Reuven, so Shimon, over the years, he feels more and more of an ahav, of a love for his parents. Ad kidekar, to the point that even though it's true that sometimes Shimon would like certain things, Shimon also is part of a chavra. And Shimon also would like to take the trip, would like to go someplace. And I mentioned this once maybe to you, I don't remember, but I remember the feelings that I had when we used to call them the American friends, were going to Madison Square Garden. And I was, at that time, I think I was maybe, I must have been 15. Yeah, we came back from this, I must have been 15. So the American guys were going to Madison Square Garden to a big Knick game, and a couple of the children of the refugees, like two or three of us, there were like 50 guys going to the garden, and then there are a couple of us that we couldn't go. And not only couldn't go, but my mother made a whole thing, and it was a whole, you know, it was with crying, and it was bechis, because I was pushing to go, and my mother, you know, and everybody else, like, you know, they just went to their parents, it seemed to me, and while the father's reading the paper, can I go to the garden? Sure. And we had like this whole diyun, like my mother and father sat down, like it was like a beis din. And I had to go to the kitchen and sit before the tribunal, and I said, you know, I want to go to the city. So my father said, I'll drive you, and I'll go with you into the basketball game. So how do you, you know, my father's going to go with me into the whole thing's like to with the guys. My father's going to go into the game with me. And I was thinking, Rabbanishlam, why do I have to have this? Why can't I just be like a regular kid? So how does one deal with that? So I when I think back, I remember that I felt upset, and I remember that I felt resentful. I was disappointed. I was disappointed that I couldn't go to the game, and that I couldn't be like the rest of the guys. But I also made, thinking back, a very simple cheshbon. I made a little bit of a scene, you know, I went to my room, but it lasted for like, you know, maybe a half hour. It wasn't much of a big deal. Because inside of me I knew, and I still know, that there was nothing in their lives that they did that was not for myself or for my sister. There was nothing. They didn't ask for anything. They didn't go anywhere or do anything. It was just for the children. Just ahav. And because of that, that yediyah, that knowledge, was interpreted by me and others like me, and just trying to think back my own life in such a way that even though I really want to go to the game, when it comes down to it, I'm not prepared to give them up because of that. I'm not prepared to give up these people because of the game, and not for the entire chavra. When it comes down to it, even if it's just me and two or three others, you know, that will stay home, we'll figure out something to do. But I made a cheshbon from an early time in my life, and I'm not saying that it was something that I articulated inside my head, but I accepted this as part of the mitzvahs of my life. And that even though sometimes there was this lingering disappointment, and sometimes there was a little bit of resentment of akpad, of why does it have to be this way? Why can't it be like the other kids? But children have a tremendous instinct of survival. They want very much to live. And the cheshbon is quite simple. Without, or Reuven's cheshbon, or Shimon, in this, we're up to Shimon. Shimon's cheshbon is quite simple. I'm disappointed. I feel it could be quite annoying sometimes. But I can't live without these people, because these people are just given to me. They love me. They're devoted to me. And I love them. And therefore, I'm not prepared to risk a separation between myself and these people, because that would be a Gehenna that would be unbearable for me. So, therefore, one accepts that you have to be soevel certain things, and to trust these people. So even though every child is traumatized by being sent to yeshiva. And I don't know if any of you remember the first day that you were in school, the first day that you went to yeshiva. I remember it very well. And I remember that I was very upset by it, and I carried on. I made a scene, you know. It's a funny thing, first you cry that you don't want to leave the house, and then you cry a couple of days later that you have to leave the house, but Ben Kaf, you're crying. So here we have one home. One home, two children. Reuven, every single day, is moving further and further away. And Shimon, despite the difficulties sometimes, is being drawn closer and closer into that bond of unbelievable ahava that lasts till 120. So Chazal said in a sentence, Ma'asecha yikavucha, Ma'asecha yichakucha. What does it mean, Ma'asecha yikavucha, Ma'asecha yichakucha? On a deep level, it means that the same actions, the same experiences, can bring one person closer and can send another person further away. Ma'asecha yikavucha ma'asecha yichakucha means that the same ma'isim mamash can be makar of one person, the same home, the same parents, the same smile that one child says, I live the whole day to see that woman smile. The other one says, I live the whole day to avoid that smile. Ma'asecha yikavucha, ma'asecha yichakucha means that the very same behavior that comes from the very same people for one child awakens and arouses a sinah, Hashem yirachem, hatred. And the same experiences of the second child strengthen the ahava. And the parents have consistently been mice and nefesh and have sought only the good for both kids. And have poured love, the same love. Again, it can't be identical, but have poured love into both of the kids. Got them both the new suit. Took them both to the ball game. Played with them. Put on the band-aid. Showed them how to ride a bicycle. Everything. Ma'asecha yikavucha. Shimon is drawn nearer and nearer, closer and closer through his experiences with these people. And the same experiences in Shimon, in Reuben's life, yichakucha, drive him further and further away. Because this is what we meant when we said at the beginning, from the Ishbitzer, Tishma cholam lifter oisai. You could have two people that hear the same dream, because life is but a dream. And the conditions of one's life are called the cholum, it's called lechem. In Reuven's life, Reuven began with anger, with arrogance. However that entered into his life, I'm not talking about where it came from chaverim, from the DNA. I'm not talking about that. But from the beginning, Reuven was suspicious, Reuven was negative, Reuven was angry. Reuven interpreted his parents in a negative way. He had a negative spin on what his parents were doing. And no matter what they tried, oh, you want to send me to yeshiva? I know that your whole tachlis of sending yeshiva is to destroy my life. I know that that's all you want, is to hurt me. That's why you're sending to the yeshiva. But it's the best yeshiva. It's the best one you could find that I would like, that I would dislike the most. So for one person, for one child, the interpretation is gewaldig, it's unbelievable, it's good. And even though, again, there are some ups and downs, and that's what's hinted at, of course, in the parasha, with Yaakov Avinu's vision, and there's a sulam mutzav atzav esh megiyesh shamayim, there's a ladder, and the foot of the ladder is on earth, and the top of the ladder reaches to heaven. Malach elokim oylem v'yardim bo. So the tzaddikim, chdushim, svasemes, v'psadik, the tzaddik mishatarma, and other tzaddikim explain that the Indian of the Malach Elokim Oilim V'yardim Bo means that the very same experiences, there's some Malachim that ascend and some Malachim that descend. There's some who are lifted up to a higher place by their experiences in this world, and there's some who are thrown down Mamish Mutzav Arza, to the lowest place. One person goes through difficulties and that person's difficulty is the person's nisyanis achayim, the difficulties of life, strengthen, give him more resolve, more kaychas and nefesh, more of an attachment to his loved ones. It's a sula. The same sula. It's the same ladder. Some are going up and some are going down. The malachim that are oilim and the malachim that are yardim. The malachim, of course, means us. That are oilim, the yardim, though. So therefore, we want to understand the inyan of noach and bechlal, the parsha that we're in our lives. Every single day we're tested this way a million times. All the time, everything that happens to us. We're no different than Reuben and Shimon, than those two boys. Chazal were megalotos. Chazal revealed to us an astounding thing. That the Rebbeinu Shel Olam tried, he was merames, he hinted to Noach in a number of ways, that he should daven for the generation. He should have rachmanis on the generation. He should see good in these people. The people were acting crazy. They were taka acting crazy. But the Rebbeinu Shel Olam was merames to Noach. He didn't force him. But the Rebbeinu Shel Olam was merames to Noach, as Chazal say, we don't have time to go through the Midrashim, that he should daven for the generation, and that it's possible, the koich of tefillah, the koich of davening, that it would be possible somehow to rescue the entire world. But Noah's interpretation of reality was so dark and dismal, it was unbelievably dark. And when Noah looked around him, all he saw was Rishoyim, he saw Din, he saw Tsaris and Din, he saw miserable, rebellious, angry people. That's all he could see. And therefore, we understand, we don't blame him. Even though Chazal have some strong words, the Torah calls him a tzaddik and we're afraid to speak about him, God forbid, in a different way. But Noach didn't daven for the generation. Chazal said it befeirush. And because of that, as the Ishbitzer says, and we repeat the words, so since Noah's interpretation of the world was that it's worthless, that the world has no purpose in continuing, since Noah's interpretation of the Metzius was one that was totally, totally dark and negative, in doing so, he gave his haskama, he signed his signature on the document that had on it the petition of those angels who from the beginning were screaming, "My enosh kisiskerenu, what do you even want from this being, these miserable human beings? Why should you even create man?" And without realizing it, Noach, Ish Tzaddik, signed his name on the bottom of the petition with the Malachim, all the Malachim are signing, and Noach signs his name at the bottom, Noach, Ish Tzaddik, Tomim. And it says on the bottom of the petition, "I'm masking with the conclusion of the Malachim, I'm masking that the world is hopeless." Because if you have no hope, you don't daven. As long as there's a little bit of hope, there's the koach of tefillah. Tefillah comes from the feeling that there's hope. God forbid, if there's no hope, you don't have a cheshit to daven. When there's hope, there's a cheshit to daven. And the fact that Noach didn't have a cheshit to daven means, as it's understood by Chazal and the Svarma Kedoshim, that Noach, in effect, signed the petition of the Malachim that said on it, "Ma enish kisis kerenu." And as the Ishbitzer says, "Ukamaisha yiftalay ha'adam," the way that you interpret the dream, "Kein yakum etzlay," that is what's going to be. It's a frightening thing, because we don't know what petitions we're signing. When we think something negative about a person who we know, or we think something, or we look at our own mitzvahs, our own reality in a dark and dismal way. We don't know if we're signing a petition. Kein yakum loy. What's called a self-fulfilling prophecy. Because all chalomos, all dreams are interpreted, and the interpretation determines what happens. The interpretation is not stam, a nice idea. It's not Eric Fromm, for those of you who waste the time on that. It's not stam. Kashe yifter ukemashe yifter loy ha'odam kein yakum etzloy. This was the interpretation. But then something changed. Something amazing happened afterwards. So Noach is Tzaddik. spends that time, that amazing time, by the Teva Snoyach. He spends that time in the Teva and the Ark. And the whole experience of being in that place, as all the Balei Musar and Tzaddikim tell us, was that Noach was thrown into an unbelievable, crazy microcosm of existence. But here, he was stuck with the lowest life forms, the lowest, highest behemoths. And he began to feel Rachmanis. And he began to become, he began to be engaged in that avoid of Lahachyais Ruach Shvelim, to give life to those who are on the lowest level of creation, because it was left up to him to feed, to take care of, to put on the band-aids and to help with the bicycle. Reuven has come of age, and Reuven was a daddy himself, and Noach became the caretaker. Noach became the one who had to give to be mechayev. Noach, on the Teva, as Chazal tell us, Noach began to see even the lowest creatures of this world at a purpose in existence. That even in the place of Choshech, there's a tzoya, there's a beam of light, there's something good. There's an avoid, there's a tachlis with the world. And therefore, because of this rachmanis, because of his desire to nurture and to give life and to daven for and to want good. So therefore, Chazal tells us that when he left the Teva, he began to cry about the churban of the world. And the Zohar Chadish tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Shaita, Shatya, the Chazal, and the Zohar Chadish said, the Baruch Hu says, Shaita. We're not allowed to say that about Noach. But it says in the Zohar Chadish, when Noach came off the Teva, he looked at the world and he says, Gevalt, what did you do? Rabbi Yishol, what did you do? You took a beautiful world. You destroyed the whole Bria. And the Rabbi Yishol says to him in Zohar Chadish, Shatya, which means fool. In the Hebrew, Halei kach amarti lucha. Didn't you hear me? I was telling you all the time. Daven for the world. Fix the world. There's good in the world. The world is beautiful. The world that you hate, the world that you despise, the world that you condemn, that you can't look at, that every time you, whatever you see, it always appears to you to be angry and negative and destructive. And now that you became the daddy, now that you had to give, you had to nurture, now that you had rachmanis, so the Rabbi Shem says, I'm a father, and I was being miraculous to you. The world has a lot of good and a lot of potential. So Chazal tell us, Noach brought the carbon. He brought the sacrifice, the offering, with those tears of unbelievable regret. Unbelievable regret how until now I partially didn't see what it means to be a parent. I didn't see how much love the Bereshit was pouring into the world. I didn't see that even those people who were running around in the sugar, that if I would have tried, if I would have spent more time, if I would have davened, if I would have seen, then ma'asecha yikarvucha, ma'asecha yikarkucha, that the very same experience would have awakened within me more rachmanis. I said over in the Chassidus Shir the other night, Monday night, we're learning Kedushas Leif and Baditshva. So I said to the Chevron Shul, I said Kedushas Levi, when he was in Varsha, when he was in Warsaw, the lowest Jew in Warsaw was somebody with the name of Beinish. Every Aveir deraisid Rabbanim. Beinish was a London, he didn't miss one Aveir. None of the Jews of Warsaw had anything to do with him. But he was still Beinish. Now he'd be like Benedict. But then he was Beinish. And when the Beditshuva saw him, he was walking with all the notables of the city came, were walking with Reb Levi Yitzchak, and Reb Levi Yitzchak looked at him. You know, the tzaddik, when Reb Levi Yitzchak looked in your eyes, looked at you forehead, he knew you inside and out, right? And the Beditshuva looked at him, he says, Beinish Sachi, and he used to call every Jew my heart, in Russian. My heart, Beinish. He says, do you know who you are? The Sherish of Yenashom, he says, Sure, Atzmacha, tie yourself up to Shemayim, tie yourself up to the root of who you are. You know who you are, Beinish said to my heart, my brother. And he started kissing him. So the Jews that were over there started to laugh, and even the tzaddikim, this story was told by the Kamarna, said that the tzaddikim who were there, they themselves were laughing. Beinish. Beinish the Rosha, Beinish the Menuvel, Beinish the Moshchas. Do you think the Kedushas Levi didn't see? You think the Kiddush Levi didn't see all of his Aveiros from the time that he was in this world? The B'dishra had bigger eyes than anybody else that was in Warsaw, anybody else that was in the world. He saw everything. But he saw how much pain, Gewalt, how much pain Beinish was in. He saw that he didn't really want to be that way. He saw that he was stuck in something. He was Ma'ir, the B'dishra was Ma'ir Rachman and Tfilis and Bakoshis. And that's why the B'dishra was able to turn the world around, because he signed a different petition. He signed the other petition, that Beinish must live. Beinish has to be a Yid. Beinish will do tshuva. Beinish can become better. Let's work with Beinish. Let's be makar of Beinish. Invite him for Shabbos. Pull him in. Do something. And when Noach is Sadik, when Noach has brought that carbon, the oila, so it says, Gevalde gerech nichayach, nichayach is also, he says, Noach, Noach, la'ila, Noach, la'sata. What Noach saw then is that the B'nai Shalom has nachas ruach, even for the lowest behemoths. And a carbon oiler that is possible to lift up the Baruch Shalom from the lowest parts of this Bria, from the lowest things in creation, from the banishes of the world, you can bring Nachas Ruach to the Baruch Shalom. You can bring Nachas Ruach to the Creator of all worlds. And now, Zayin Achabandim. Now Noach says, enough for the Malachim, enough for the Ketrugim. Don't come to me with your papers, I've had it with you. The world will live. The world will live, and I'm going to daven for the world, and the tzaddik is Yisrael Olam, Zayin Nachamenu. So with the Baruch Shalom, what we spoke about in the beginning, how could it be? The Baruch Shalom didn't know. So why isn't he Malam Eschus? Why doesn't he say, Ki Yetzelei V'Adam Ra'alam in the Uruf? Why doesn't the Baruch Shalom Malam Eschus? Why does he first agree the Malachim, and then Noah comes? Because the Baruch Shalom created the world in such a way, and it's a pacha. The Baruch Shalom created the world in such a way where he left the interpretation up to us, and he leaves the petition for us to sign. Therefore, finally, after the Mabul, when Noach already is a mispal, and Noach sees good in the world, and Noach has a different spin on reality, he has a different take on the Baruch Shalom's world and his creatures. So now, Vayorach Hashem is Rechi, and Yichorach Vayoyim Hashem, Le'oisif Le'kal, Hashem says, I'm not going to curse the world anymore. And he says, Ki Yetzer Leiv Adam Ra'alim Nuruv. What does that mean? Ki Yetzer Leiv Adam Ra'alim Nuruv means that because of Noach's choice to bring the sacrifice, because of Noah's choice to daven, because Noah's choice to see that even the lowest behemoths are a fragrance in Hashem's nose. That the Baruch Shalom loves the world, and he wants the world. So now, Hashem's brother says, aha, so now Noah, you signed the petition, and the petition is what? To give life. And by doing so, by signing that, Noach is able to be more oira the toiv and the bria, masecha yekarvucha. Because until now, he was masecha yekarvucha, and therefore he was awakening the kitrugim of the malachim, the angels, that said that man is worthless. And who says man is worthless? Man himself says man is worthless. But now the Baruch Shalom says, alim eschus, yeitzelev adam ra'alamanuv, because now Noach is saying like a bedicha. Noach says, "Banish my entire." Now Noach is saying, "Says that the world is my heart, and I can't stand to see the world in pain." And this is what you and I go through, as I said, every single day, all the time. We always have that choice, just like with Reuven and Shimon, the two boys growing up in the same house. How do you interpret the matzev that you're in right now? You have one person that could be in a difficult situation, let's say difficulty with shidduchim, it's not going, there's a problem. And you could have another person that's in the same matzav, even worse. And one person, God forbid, curses the day he was born, curses all the rabbis and all the shadchanim and all the friends, and sees only choshech and misery and darkness, and signs a petition, and the petition says, there's nothing good, there's no shidduch for me. And another person who could have gone through the same thing or even worse, was brought up in the same sviva, the same world, has a different interpretation of life as but a dream, and believes believes that Hashem is toivu meitiv. Hashem is not trying to hurt him. Hashem loves him. Hashem loves her. And Hashem is working at it in your life. And it gets to be misparallel and to see good in other Jews, to see good in your parents, to try to see good in tzaddikim, to see good in a friend, to see good in every mashu, every little bit, in every little bit of this world, to try to be moitzes, to squeeze out something that's positive, that's toiv. Because certainly, if Reuven and Shimon's parents loved him, and if Reuven and Shimon's parents were mice and nefesh every minute for him, the Rebbein Shalom says over and over, you're my children, I love you. The whole Tanakh, the Rebbein Shalom says, I love you. Reuven didn't believe it and Shimon did. Both of them were annoyed at times, because they didn't get what they wanted. So Shimon wanted to go, and Reuven wanted to go. And both of them were told no. But then the question is, how do they interpret the no? Does it mean he hates me? Daddy hates me? Mommy hates me? They just want to destroy my life? Or, I'm really upset, I really am disappointed, but I believe in them and I believe that they know what's best for me. And you can't even say that nowadays. If you say that nowadays, they lock you up. You believe your parents know what's best for you? Are you crazy? Why would you have a hobby that they know what's best for you? So we're all the Baruch Shalom's children. And all the circumstances of our lives are petitions that are being handed around. And all the things that you're crafting that are not good for you, you yourself can be signing a petition denying yourself the privilege to have that good. Because all you see is bad in people and the things of your life. And then Chalila, you're signing the document of the Malachim are saying, it's not coming to him. My father's not good. My father makes shidduchim for this one, for this one, for that one. You know, the whole evening of Chanukah, I need just like another 5 minutes. The whole evening of Chanukah was that the avodah of Yavan was hechshich l'seinayim, was to darken their eyes. It's an interesting lashon. It doesn't say to make them blind, but to darken the eyes. You know what that means? It means to interpret everything in your life in a dark way. It means to see everything that's negative in your life. And to focus on everything that's negative and to see everybody in the worst way. You have that in every school, you have it in every shul, there'll be a few people. You have it in every office, there's someone that if the boss says something, it's no matter what, it's a vicious. Everything's a vicious, everything is bad. Newspapers, the whole Indian of a newspaper to sell is to sensationalize all the tsarist and all the evil and to put a negative, dark spin on all reality. Because positive stuff, you know, that's Walt Disney. That's not reality. I saw that by the Baba Rabbi Schussi again Aleinu playing dreidel on Chanukah was a big Indian. It used to be mechaber different people the dreidel. And it was a time of tremendous tzedakah was given for mostly the Chanukah was given for poor people in Eretz Yisrael, and they used to have a big plate in front of the Rebbe, and they used to throw money into the plate, and they used to play dreidel, and the Baba Rebbe used to say different things the way the dreidel would fall. And you know, there's a certain level that nobody wants, and that's a shin. Nobody wants a shin. So I saw it was brought down in the Sefer that there were different. There was an order of married people, bacharim. You know, who one bachar would represent all the bacharim for that spin. Then there'd be another person who represent all the balabatim and so on. So this bachar, the one that was representing all the bacharim, and the bacharim emptied out their pockets for tzedakah, right? And the bacharim that was representing all the bacharim. So the guys were counting on him. He was the shliach for all the bacharim. And the bacharim was sitting there, and all the money's in the plate, and there's like thousands of people looking at the dreidel. And it comes out on his shin. So all the bacharim like, oh. And it's like, and the Rebbe says, shidduch. He says, and he had 2 weeks later a shidduch, that bacharim. You know, two people look at one person looks at the shin, I'm finished. The Baba Rebbe looked at the shin, he said, shidduch. That same year, there was the one who was spinning for the balabatim. There was a married couple who hadn't had children 18 years. He spun the dreidel, and everybody was rooting that it should be maybe a gimel, maybe he'll have a yeshua. Came out of hay. So the oilam also was, all right, hay is. But the oilam was disappointed. The Bobavir started clapping his hands, and he said, hey lachem zara. Means in the pasuk, the Yosef, it's a hey lachem, here. Hey lachem, here is your seed. And he had a child that year, him and his wife. It's just how you spin it. And how you interpret the oisius of how the dreidel falls in your life. Everybody's fadreit. Everybody's draining around. The only shaila is like how are you paisa the, how do you read the shin, the hay, the gimel, and how do you look at it? So let me end with a mice. I'll tell you a story. So mice in Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. A gewaldige mice. It's gewaldig because it could happen to any of us every day. It does. Listen. You know, in those days, in the villages, the worst job is to be a water carrier. And it's a rachmanis on those people, but we have a lot of great stories on their cheshbon, you know what I'm saying? A lot of great stories, but they had a hard life. So the water carrier in Mezhbiz was a Jew by the name of Haikel. Haikel, the water carrier in Mezhbiz by Baal Shem HaKadosh. So this Haikel was schlepping the buckets one day, two pails, and the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh was sitting outside with the tzaddikim, with his students, and they were learning. And when Reb Haikel was coming there, so Baal Shem HaKadosh says, Reb Haikel, how are you doing, Reb Haikel? How are you? So he says, Rebbe, what should I tell you? I can't lie to you, Rebbe. I'm not happy. I'm getting older. I can't do this anymore. And there's something else that's been going on. Lately, Jews have decided that they want to live on hills. They like to buy homes on hills. He says, Rebbe, I'm getting older. The hills are getting, the homes are getting higher up. And I have to marry off this one and that one. And my whole livelihood is just suffering. It's just yisurim. And that was it. So Rebbe said, no, have a good day. And they were learning. The next day, the Baal Shem HaKadosh is reading the Talmidim, and Reb Haikel's coming by, he's got his root. Reb Haikel's coming by, and the Baal Shem HaKadosh asks him, of course, again, Reb Haikel, how are you doing today? So now he's got a big smile on his face, Reb Haikel, and he says, Baruch Hashem, who am I to complain about the Rebbein Shalom in his world? Who am I to complain about the Rebbein Shalom? Everything is gewaldig, and you know something, Rebbe? A person can get used to anything. I'll tell you something else, Rebbe. In many ways, I'm doing much better now, because when I first started as a water carrier, I wasn't used to it. But over the years, I've developed a certain mahalach, and it doesn't tire me out the way that it used to. I feel really, really much better about it. And at this point, they're as light as feathers. The buckets are just like mine. It's mamash. It doesn't bother me at all. And I'm only happy that the Baruch Shalom, even though I'm getting older, the Baruch Shalom has given me this chus to bring water to thirsty Jews. So Haikel walks away. It's like he's singing, he's like whistling a niggin. He walks away. So the Baal Shem HaKadosh says to the tzaddik and to his talmidim, he says, no. You see this, Rabbi Yisai? It's the same Haikel. It's the same buckets of water, the same houses high up on a mountaintop. But it's like they're two different Haikels. It's a mamish, two different Haikels. The Haikel that we saw today looks like he's not the Haikel that we had yesterday. What's the pshat? So Baal Shem HaKadosh said that the truth is that Haikel must be a water carrier. He's not going to be a brain surgeon. Haikel's going to be a water carrier. That's his mazel. Haikel's going to be a water carrier. That's his lot in this world. The bechira of Haikel is each and every day to thank Hashem for what he has, to see the good in his life, to try to focus on the fact that he has gotten used to this and so on and so forth. So Haikel has to decide every day, not whether he's going to be a water carrier, He has to decide whether he's going to accept his chalik and whether he's going to move ahead happily and do what he has to do, or whether, God forbid, he's going to spend his entire life in sadness and misery. So Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh says that you would think that Chaykel yesterday had a bad day and yesterday and today had a good day, right? If you talk to him. So I can basically think yesterday this guy was in a slump, and today he's hitting, you know, he's great. You think yesterday was a bad day and today was a good day. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh says it's not true. There are no good times and bad times, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh said. There are only happy times and sad times. There's only your interpretation. That's all there is in this world. Everything the Baruch Shalom does is good. The only question is, how do you interpret? How do you interpret your life? What do you see in your life? What do you focus on in your life? There aren't two chaykels. There's only one chaykel. It's just one day he's miserable and the other day he's happy. And the avoid of our lives, the avoid of our lives is to be like chaykel on the second day. And it's very, very, very hard. It's very hard. It's not void of one's entire life. Hashem's Baruch should help us that we should be able to read the dreidel in a good way. That we should be able, Mitzvah Hashem, to be the kind of people whose eyes are illuminated with the light of Chanukah, whose eyes are able to see the good in our families, the good in husbands and wives and friends, the good in tzaddikim, the good in the good that surrounds us mamish from the day we came to this world. And every single time that we think a good thought, we say a good word, we're signing the petition that it should be a happier day. It should be a better day. It should be a geula shleima. It should be a geula shleima v'amitis for all of us. V'sechazen einenu b'shuv Hashem atzin rachmim. The geula shleima v'amitis m'hem v'yemenu. Amen.